listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's the Screener Squad. Hi, I'm your host here today, Spider Mike. With me, I have faster than a speeding bullet, Jordan.
Why, hello there.
More powerful than a locomotive, Doggett.
Doggett.
And I also have person able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, Elliot.
Hello, hello.
Yes, we are here to talk about Superman, the man who has amazing abilities for the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and certain ways. We're not really sure if we are allowed to say that anymore, so we're just going to leave that one to that.
Truth, justice, and I read the first fucking issue of John Kent's book. I'm trying to remember what the line was.
Looking to make the world a better place or something like that. It's something like that, but that's not exactly who we're talking about. There is a Jonathan Kent in this, but no, we're talking about the newest CW show called Superman and Lois. That is the Superman of the Arrowverse, as it's called, who was introduced in Supergirl as well as Lois Lane. They have now got their own show, and which everybody wanted from like the get-go. It's going to be a very difficult thing not to spoil. We'll probably end up spoiling some stuff, so just a warning, some stuff may get spoiled. We'll try not to go too far into it, but we'll do what we can. The main plot of it, for the most part, is that Superman and Lois have twin kids, Jonathan and Jordan, named after his dads, respectively, and they decide that they're going to move to Smallville after Jordan shows that he might have superhuman abilities. And so while they're there, it turns out Morgan Edge is trying to take over Smallville, and so it's up to the two of them to stop it while Clark is also being hunted by a man from another universe. So that's kind of the main gist of the beginning. That's like the first like two episodes, and then it evolves from there. What did you all think of it?
Wait, Jordan's named after Jor-El? I thought he was just a sports fan, you know.
It's funny because the actor who plays Jonathan is named Jordan, which makes me laugh.
I'm right here.
Jordan's a very popular name, apparently. But yes.
Yes. Look, I cannot take all the credit, but I will because I am just that beautiful. I just absolutely fucking loved this. I really did. This is hands down one of the best Superman adaptations. I already loved Tyler Hoechlin as a Supes.
Is that how you pronounce it, like, by the way?
Well, that's how I've heard it.
You were confident at first, like... Jordan. You were confident at first.
Questioned it immediately.
Shut up.
No, it's okay. No,
I'm not on trial here.
No, it's a name that it's a name that I haven't had too much luck myself trying to get.
But he's so good. He is a perfect Clark Kent. An exceptional Superman. I'm probably going to ruffle some fucking feathers because I'm still going back and forth. He might be my personal favorite Superman. I really loved his performance. And also, I am fully lesbian, but looking at him, I see the appeal of men. I look at him, and I get it.
Jordan, you say this about 10 different men.
This is like the actual one.
You know, I was watching this last night, and I, too, was thinking at some point. I was like, this is pretty easily the best portrayal of Superman since Christopher Reeves. And maybe even better than that, just because, you know, the quality of those movies is not always the best.
I absolutely can see what you mean on that because Christopher Reeve is great, but he's only has two really good films. And then the third one is god awful. And the fourth one has like the worst budget in like anything I've ever seen.
What are you talking about? The villain has Lee Press-On nails.
I love Nuclear Man, to be honest. Like, legitimately. He was introduced into the comics in the Phantom Zone during Bendis' run not that long ago. But I digress. Doggo, what did you think?
Well, I'm not afraid to say it, because I do not respect the past. I think this is the best Superman. I think he's better than Christopher Reeves.
That helps that Doggett has never seen Christopher Reeve movies.
I don't care what anyone says. This is my Superman. Mine. And I enjoy them, and I won't share him with anyone.
I won't fight you on that.
I think a lot of people growing up are going to identify this as their Superman for a lot of years to come.
And unlike Jordan's thirst for the Superman, I will make a statement I only ever say probably three times a year. This right here, this CW show we just got, is a perfect season of television.
It is.
It is.
Not a single episode can be cut.
Which you can't say for a 15-episode season these days.
No,
you really can't.
You especially can't say that about a lot of CW shows, because you watch, like, The Flash.
Man, this ain't a CW show. We gotta stop naming it that.
Yeah, it should move to HBO.
Okay, I'll admit, I'm probably the one person here still watching the Arrowverse.
We watch Legends.
And I do. Well, Legends is great. Legends is DC's cocaine hour.
There's dozens of you guys.
But even I'm starting to wane a little bit with The Flash. Like,
starting to.
I gave up on The Flash like 4 seasons ago.
Was it The Flash Force lightsabers?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. But let's talk about the show some more. Yeah, this is the best portrayal of Superman we've gotten in the past fucking 20 years. Probably. Like, I like Dean Cain's Superman a lot because I grew up with him because I watched his show a lot. Like, I have the whole thing on DVD.
Ooh, I thought I was brave.
Because that show did something that I didn't see in a lot of things at the time, because Christopher Reeve's movies didn't really do this, and neither did a lot of other stuff, which is that the relationship between Lois and Clark.
Yeah, and I'm with Mike. I grew up on that, too.
And then this show happened, and not only did it use the relationship of Lois and Clark in an amazing way that show did as well, it also introduced the fact of them having a family, which is not something live action anything Superman related has ever got a chance to do. The idea of him having kids, like, he's had a kid in comics for quite a bit, and there's other comics like that he's had a kid in some point, whether or not they're part of the actual continuity. What I loved about this is that, unlike the comic, he has twins. One is superpowered and one's not. Jordan is not like a confident kid. He is anxiety ridden as hell, even though he has the power to throw buses.
And how they play with that is so perfect. But I do also want to say, Elizabeth Tochi as Lois Lane, definitely my favorite Lois Lane, like, since Dana Delaney in the DC animated universe. Holy hell, I fucking loved her.
There could be a whole show just about her.
Look, I'll be dead serious when I say this. Lois Lane is one of my favorite superheroes in the DC universe.
And her dad's like an old man Jason Bateman.
Yeah, so let's talk about the extended characters of this universe, which I also really love about this, because, again, this is something that only the last thing that did this, on, in my opinion, is still Lois and Clark, because even the Superman animated series kind of had some of this, but they had a great supporting cast, which is, Superman works really well on his supporting cast. A lot of people don't understand that about his character, and they had Dylan Walsh, it was played General Sam Lane here, which is Lois's dad, who luckily knows that Clark is Superman, so there's no, like, awkward, like, where did your husband go kind of thing, and that helps a lot with their relationship.
As a society, have we moved past Jimmy Olsen?
No, the thing is that Jimmy was so part of Supergirl, and he's, I don't know what the hell happened to him in that show at some point. He moved, right?
He left to start up a newspaper in his hometown because of corruption.
I didn't miss him in this show.
Yeah, me neither.
Jimmy isn't really needed in the show is the thing.
No, and to follow up on Mike, this is the best Sam Lane, too. Dylan Walsh does a good job because usually Sam Lane is just such a fucking caricature of an angry army guy. Like, he's the DC version, I guess you could say, of Thunderbolt Ross, minus the mustache.
Borderline he tends to be, but it varies depending on thing.
Yeah, but this one is much more sympathetic and actually caring. And I do like how the antagonistic relationship he tends to have with Lois is still there, but it's not borderline fuck you, dad.
Isn't it amazing that Clark gets along with him and Lois is the one who's... Isn't that terrible when your partner gets along with your parent and you can't?
And your daughter's writing shit about you in the papers.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the things I'm most surprised by is the fact that Clark and Sam get along really well. Like, you expect, like, them to have, like, they have some, like, conflicts as the season goes on, but it's never, man, fuck you kind of thing. It's always like, look, Sam, just, like, I get it. Just don't do that again. It's like what he keeps doing.
Chill your shit.
Well, I think what I love most about the show is it's still so rooted in the positivity of Superman. You know, not just Superman as a character, but his stories and his world are always sort of full of hope in a lot of ways. And there's, you know, the relationship between these characters. There's a character that is a villain at first, but becomes an ally pretty quick. That relationship, I thought, really was beautiful in how it was, you know, working with Superman's want to bring people together, even the people he's fighting.
Don't you also feel like that's the CW going, hey, man, we're having so much fun with you, man. Tyler, we love you, but don't you fuck around. Don't you fuck around. There's a replacement right behind you. breathing down your neck.
That's pretty much what Tom Cavanaugh is in The Flash.
Yeah, the thing about this that relationship is that...
They want your wife.
It does such a good job at, like, bringing the fact that, like, this guy came from a world that's very hopeless, and he's so enamored by hope that it just ends up working out. And I'm fine with that. Like, it's great. Like you said, it's all about the hope. When he gets to Smallville... Smallville's in a really bad situation, and there's a character here who's only a part of this. Like, he doesn't exist in anything outside of this. Who's Lana's husband in this universe, which is Kyle Cushing, played by Eric Valdez.
Jordan's worst enemy.
Yeah, when you meet him, you're like, fuck this guy, like, from the get-go.
I hated Kyle because I grew up around Kyle. I've known Kyle. I still have to live around Kyle.
Don't put your biases on this character.
No, fuck you. No, he did it. I'm going to fucking throw it back at him.
By the way, Jordan means the Kyle of the show, not Kyle Scott, who's a friend of ours. Kyle Scott, who's a friend of ours.
No, nice person. Kyle Scott's awesome. No, he's a good road trip buddy. No, Kyle from the show is just like, small town, that's what you can depend on. Good old home living. Because ain't no one going to... Hey, newsflash. I live in a small town. I grew up in a small town. They are hypocritical as fuck. And I'm glad this show did not shy away. It's like, yeah, this place kind of sucks to live because people are kind of fucking fickle and two-faced. But I will say, the last couple episodes actually made me warm up to Kyle a bit. Because it...
Well, that's the thing about the show. That's the reason I brought up Kyle, is that Kyle's another good example, in my opinion, of starting off with somebody who's very negative in what's going on in his position. And the hope of everything, just like, it constantly brings people who were just down into like this great position by the time it's done. Like, even his and Lana's daughter, Sarah Cushing, played by Inda Navarrete. She's fantastic in this. She's also another person who's dealing with a lot of anxiety. Like, she has a lot going on, and her and Jordan get this great bond that ends up becoming something more, which I also really like. Poor fucking Jonathan, though. Jonathan Kent starts off in this amazing position. Like, he's the only one I think doesn't fully, like, end up in a better place by the time the show's done. Because he starts in a great area when the show starts. He's like, I'm the star fucking quarterback of Metropolis.
And Jordan's like,
I got this great fucking girlfriend. And like, Jordan's just in the corner crying. My life is fantastic. And then they take him out of, you know, Metropolis, because him and Lois have the most whiplash of the two people moving from Metropolis to Smallville. Because a lot of the antagonistic sense that Jordan was bringing up about the small town is the fact that they look at the big city people and they don't want to take them seriously because they think they're looking down on them, which is also something that gets played with later down the line with another character that's later has had the same sort of issue at some point.
But I also love the whole thing where, like, they show you the cheat code. How do you get along with people? Like, if you're a social outcast, how do you get along in the world? I'm sorry, but the real answer is join a sport. Things will turn around quick.
Well, not only just join a sport, beat up the biggest guy that you find.
Oh, that did him no favors. But he won them. He hit a few touchdowns. What is his position? I'm not. Obviously, I wasn't.
I know we're
sports.
Not good with sports. But the thing is,
look. Clearly, Doggett only pays attention to basketball. So
basketball. How's basketball not a real thing? By the way, how's Quidditch a thing, but basketball's not a real thing?
I will say I do love Jordan Elias as Jonathan and Alec Garfin as Jordan. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's confusing.
By the way, side note, I want to get this on Blu-ray and see how many times that fuck-up was done in outtakes.
It had to have been.
But they are so good. Honestly, it's so rare that you can get such good acting out of such younger actors. They are so wonderful here. So good. And they actually make you really feel for them.
They did a good job in writing them in a way that wasn't, hey, we're whiny and I hate you, Dad, and then they run off crying or something. All of their issues are very much like, no, that's a genuine issue to have, and that's a genuine thing to be upset about, like, consistent. As every time they have an issue, like every issue Jordan has makes sense. Most of Jonathan's issues make sense, except for the things that he can't control, which are superpower related. and even then, it makes sense why he's upset about it. And the fact that Jonathan doesn't have power, so he has to deal with the fact that he has to keep the secret, as well as be in a lot of mortal danger from the fact that he doesn't have powers. Although he heals very fast, I'm not gonna lie. The man like keeps getting his ass beat, and then just like. Couple days later, he's like, I'm good. And like, even the last couple, he gets into a real nasty car accident when they're like, here's a gun, and he's like, I'm great. And it's just like, okay, good, sure.
Hey, now, hey, His arm was in a sling.
Not for that last part. They give him a gun, and he's like, my arm's great now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
and so he's just like, doesn't have a sling anymore, so he might have something.
Come on, he's part Kryptonian. Let's cut him some slack.
Yeah, that's the thing I was about to say.
He took a punch to the hand that should have, like, shattered every bone in his
Well, at the risk
hand.
Of spoiling a minor thing, like, the entire season, were you waiting for them to reveal? No, he also has powers. Yeah, don't worry about it. He's fine.
I was expecting it. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, I really am too, because there's one particular moment in the finale that solidifies the connection between Jordan and Jonathan that I thought was great. Also, I want to commend this show. Most kind and sincere Jor-El in a while, in anything.
Which is hysterical, because he was the bad guy for the last season of Chuck to me.
Well, you know, actually the one in Zack Snyder wasn't that bad.
Oh, he was.
He was the bad guy in the last season of Chuck.
No, I remember now.
The second I saw him, I was like, that motherfucker. And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah,
I still remember him
as Jor-El now, so that I had to deal with that. But no, he's great. Like, Jor-El is, he's closer to the Jor-El from the Marlon Brando time frame. The scientist who's just willing to help out and is never really an asshole about it, like Terrence Stamp was in Smallville.
And he actually does come off like a proud father. I want to go back to what Elliot said. You can't cut a single episode from this. Every episode's honestly getting better than the last. It is just so good when a TV show can do that. Honestly, I also gotta commend the show for holding on to like two of the best reveals in one single season.
This show is full of reveals. That's the reason I'm trying not to like spoil so much. This show consistently like brings up something. I'm just gonna bring up the bad guy, or one of the bad guys, because there's a few. Morgan Edge, played by Adam Rayner, who is just fucking amazing in this show. He's charming, he's slimy, and he is dangerous. And Morgan Edge existed prior to this, but they literally changed his character as well as changed the actor, because he used to be a character in Supergirl. And so he ends up using Lana, played by Manuel Chiriki. She's a great actress. She's a great Lana Lang. She has to deal with having to like get help from Lois to figure out what's going on in Smallville, as well as a new type of kryptonite that may or may not be able to give people superpowers. The thing is, it's a mystery. Like, there's so much going on in the show that you don't know what's happening. Like, you're finding out this stuff as well as Lois is, as well as Clark is. If I had any criticism, it would be that I wanted more Clark Kent reporter as well.
Ooh, I got some bad news for you about this first episode, Mike.
I wanted more of Clark, because as much as Clark is great in the show, he doesn't really interact as much with people outside of the Kents and Sam Lane as for a lot of the show. Compared to Lois and everybody else.
I get it. It's the Dragon Ball Z fan in you. You're like, why are you spending so much time with your children?
No, it's just like...
it's the anti-Disney message.
Exactly.
Oh, I did love... By the way, this character has been upgraded, as I've seen now, to a regular in Season 2. I like what they changed up with Beppo.
With which one?
Beppo.
Is this a cute nickname you've made up in your mind?
The fucking dock worker.
You mean Bibbo. That's why I was
confused.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Bibbo is a character I would love to see show up, and I want him to be played by Brad Garrett. I put me on record to say that, because I would love that 100%.
This show got me in the first few opening moments, and that was just it when you see Superman in the Fleischer suit, the suit from the Fleischer cartoons. It's an homage to the cover of Action Comics number one. Carrying this battered green car, and this kid just sees him. It's like, it's cool outfit. And he just smiles so earnestly and says, thanks, my mom made it. And flies off. It's like,
They were so proud of that, they showed it twice.
That entire scene has so much homage in, like, within those, 3 minutes? More than, like, the entirety of Zack Snyder's fucking... movies did.
Oh, we're gonna start kicking down now.
The reason I want to kick down on Zack Snyder in this is because the fact that that scene says so much about that character in such a small period of time. Like, it's like he's there to save the day. He's very nice. It's a great homage to Superman for All Seasons when he talks about how his mom made the suit, and like you said, the Flash suit, and all that happens in a 3 minute time frame, and it tells you everything you need to know about this character.
And I even saw a re-edit on YouTube where that whole scene is set to the original John Williams score. It's pretty good, but I actually prefer the way the show did it, because I also think the music in this show is spectacular.
I was surprised how much I like the Superman theme in this. Like, I can't hum it to you right now, but every time it played, I couldn't help but get excited, which is a good thing to have with the Superman show. Bruce Timm once said that the best way to do a Superman theme is that you can sing Superman to it. Like the Superman animated series is like Superman, Superman, here comes Superman.
Is this Star Trek rules?
That kind of thing. Yeah, kind of. Like he thinks there's something great about it. And when you listen to that theme, you can kind of do the same thing with it. There's something special about that that I can't help but love.
Yeah, it's like the Jurassic Park lyrics. It's a Jurassic Park, it's a Jurassic Park. No,
he's
it's
not
magical.
Wrong. But who wants to start their final thoughts on this, though?
I'll just go right into mine. Absolutely fucking love this show. A perfect, pitch-perfect representation, adaptation of Superman and everything that makes this character and his mythos, all the supporting characters, just wonderful. I adore this. Honestly, I do want to get it on Blu-ray and then just like go through. Also, great special effects. I know HBO Max kind of helped foot the bill. Regardless, it is just so good in every aspect. I adored it, even when I had to put up with fucking Kyle.
God.
All right, shut up. I admit fault, all right? I really can't give this show anything other than 10 out of 10 cameras that Jimmy Olsen most certainly broke.
Jesus.
I like how you're saying HBO Max slid them some money. Let's be realistic. They took that money out of Flash, out of Legends, out of all these other shows. Do you notice how the seasons look a little bit shittier?
Yes, that's why they look shittier.
But yes, I very much love this. Just as much as everybody else did. That's how magical the show is. We probably are trying our best to get as many people to watch this thing because it's still on CW and viewership matters still. It's a great show, and unlike other people, I think this actually complements some aspects of past movies. You know, how no matter how hard you try, there's going to be collateral damage. If there's a bunch of Superman attacking a city, buildings are going to be destroyed, regardless of how hard they're trying. And I enjoyed that little show, and it shows how much money was put in the show. How many times can I say show? I'm going to give this 10 out of 10 really charming Kyles, apparently.
God damn.
Well, one thing I wanted to say more about was, I think it was episode 11, those flashbacks. All of those were great. It was just a rapid fire kind of hitting you right in the heart, because that's where all of the big classic Superman references happen, and each one of them was done so well. Yeah, the music was great, the way he starts working at the Daily Planet and starts working with Lois. You know, I had already fully bought into them as a couple and their whole family dynamic from the beginning of the show, but having this backstory to really anchor it, just, it was so good. It was great. I love that episode. And I think that was the point where I really kind of became a fan of the show. I was already really liking it, but that was the episode that captured my heart. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of criticisms. It wasn't quite a 10 out of 10 for me, but I really absolutely love this. And I do think this is probably my favorite Superman portrayal. I'm going to have to give this a 9 out of 10 mom-made soup suits.
Yeah, that's the thing. This show is absolutely fucking amazing. It's the best. That episode alone is one of the greatest episodes of any superhero thing I've ever seen. Because it tells you everything you need to know about these characters, everything you need to know about their relationship. What I loved the most about it is that it showed that Lois fell in love with Clark and she was never into Superman the entire goddamn time. And that's something that's incredibly rare. Like, she just ended up... She fell in love with Clark and he just happened to be Superman. Like, that's the version that this did, and that's amazing to me. The line she has in that episode where she's like, "I love him, he's a dork," that was an ad-lib. And it's so fucking perfect for that relationship. I don't have a lot of criticisms either. It's a really good show. I'm not going to give it a 10 out of 10 either, but that's only because I have a few issues with it. I can't really say one of them because it's a spoiler on the main point of the plot. The other is that I was hoping to see some more Superman villains in it outside of, you know, one of the ones that's kind of made up for the show, sort of. And then the one that is a Superman villain. And I think he's like the only normal villain we get outside of one of the ones in the flashback. A great villain that they use from Superman Smashes the Clan. Again, that episode is full. Oh my God, it's full of so many great fucking little nods to everything involving Superman. Doggett's right when it comes to the fact that it does take a lot from the past Superman movies. in the in its lighting and its the way everybody's moods are. Like, there's something just absolutely gorgeous about it. But at the end of the day, I would have to give it 9 out of 10 PT Cruisers hovering above somebody's heads.
Now, I can't believe this is the... I'm actually saying this, but can we please have John Cryer next time? Because his Lex Luthor is still really fucking good. Oh my god.
From going from Lenny Luthor to Lex Luthor, one of the best fucking Lex Luthors in fucking history.
I
fuck me.
I still can't believe it.